Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, mate, what's that thing coming out of your head? This? Yeah, mate, that thing. It's, a horn. What? Basically, my dad had sex with a unicorn, so my mum's a unicorn, so I've got a horn coming out of my head. I mean, I'm absolutely sick of telling this story. Oh, mate, it must be world bad having to explain that all the time. I wish there's a way of me making a film out of it, and then people could just watch the film and I wouldn't have to explain myself the whole time. Oh, you want to get in touch with Her Film Project? They help people from like groups that aren't sort of non-traditional and that sort of thing get into film. Find out more at Her Film Project. Thanks. No worries, mate. Oh, I've got to do this now. Hello, listeners. Welcome to another episode of Film Fandango. Yes, it's this week. David is still not back. He has now had the baby. Congratulations, David. I am joined by a guest, a man who I have never met until 4 hours ago. Welcome, stranger.
Thank you.
This is Matt Skillington. Do you like being called Matthew or Matt?
No, Matt Skillington's fine for me, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I'll just do some introductions now.
Yep.
Matt Skillington is a member of Seldom Differ Sketch Group.
Yep.
Who I found out about on YouTube. Very funny. Surprisingly few followers, and it makes me cross.
No, that's, yeah, I think that's the first contact we had, actually, isn't it? Because you, did you tweet something?
Yeah.
I'm surprised you've not got...
I'm one of the few comics that actually tweets out other people's things they find funny, rather than just gets bitter and goes, oh, that's funny. Yeah. I'll give them any work.
Yeah, no, that was nice. I think that was last year, and I was like, oh, that's nice of him to say that, because, you know, like you say, we don't really get much of them,
no.
Especially from other budding comedians, so it was very nice thing for you to say, you know.
Oh, it's, well, I'm not really a nice person, but one of the few instances of me being nice.
Yeah.
Anyway, Matt also does a podcast. Is it called Skilleave It or Not?
Yeah, Matt Skillington's Skilleave It or Not, yeah.
With the best intro music to any podcast. So if you go into... I couldn't find it. I just wrote Skillington into iTunes.
And did it pop straight up?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
I tried to put different Skilleave different times and it didn't come up.
Well, the problem is with this is that I usually spell it with the dollar sign as the S. And the Skilleave, it's because of having the surname Skillington, obviously. I get called Skills sometimes, so sometimes I refer to myself as Skills, but I spell it with a dollar S and then finish it with a Z.
It looks cool, but literally, you're definitely affecting your audience numbers.
Yes. Well, on the podcast itself, it's not spelled with a dollar sign, so I don't know why. I think it's your inability to spell that is the main...
I don't think we're at the stage where we can make those sort of...
No, I forgot about
those sort of character slurs. Anyway, Matt contacted me about me doing his podcast. I thought, oh, do you know what? I've got a very limited circle of friends. Let's do a double podcast record.
You trapped me, didn't you?
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah.
You couldn't say no then.
No.
You were screwed.
No, it was an honour and a privilege to be asked, and I just want to say thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, it's a pleasure. And we went to the cinema to see the Florida Project. We had a nice coffee first of all, got to know each other, mm-hmm. so it didn't feel too uncomfortable. I bought you some popcorn. We sat back and then...
You've looked after me like a king.
Oh, that's very kind. The Florida Project is, I mean, I should have really done... People look up directors and stuff beforehand. I like to do it during the show.
Is it Ben?
This is called him Ben.
Smith?
It's Sean Baker. So a similar sort of genre of names.
That was way off.
Similar sort of genre of names. Directed by Sean Baker, who... He directed Tangerine and wrote Tangerine. Tangerine was the film that was shot on the iPhone, I believe, that everyone went mental for. And that's the reason why everyone goes, yeah, you can shoot films on your iPhones these days. I mean,
you can't.
You look shit. And they definitely had loads of apps and proper cine lenses attached to it. I mean, you'd be a dick if you were going to spend all that money on a film and shot it on his iPhone. But it's worked out for Sean Baker. He didn't shoot this on his iPhone.
Or maybe he did at the end. We'll get
actually,
to that.
Actually, yeah.
Maybe that was his reference to where, you know, his roots.
That's a good point. Of course, that's a good... I mean, I just realised that. Anyway, are you good at describing films? Because I'm not. How would you describe it? Without giving away too many spoilers, what's the basic premise of this business?
The basic premise about this film is it's all set around a motel called the Magic Kingdom, which is run by a guy called Danny, I believe. Bobby.
I mean, it's only been half an hour since you were
played by Willem Dafoe. And it's, I think the story is mainly about a lady and mother who is struggling to support her child.
A young mother.
A young mother, yeah. And the difficulties of bringing up a child with no money and not very good prospects.
Did you enjoy it?
I did enjoy it.
But you'd seen the trailer for this film.
Yeah.
And the trailer is one of those things where, I mean, I don't think trailers really help films these days. They tend to put me off. I thought it was... It seems to be, the trailer did look a lot better than the film. And I've heard this film's been really highly praised. It's got 92 on Metacritic. Everyone's 8.1 on IMDb. Everyone's saying it's a sort of Oscar. I don't think it is.
No, it looks beautiful.
Purple Hotel is brilliant.
Yeah, I was thinking that hotel must exist. They couldn't have just painted that.
But when he said, spoilers, he spent $20,000 on the hotel, I thought. Yeah.
Painting it.
That's quite a lot of work for 20. That's quite a lot of painting.
That is, yeah.
That's quite a cheap price, I think.
Big building, though.
Yeah.
And to be fair, that colour is probably quite pricey.
Actually, I think it might be one of those situations where they can't sell that stuff.
Right.
A really horrible lilac. I'd say lilac colour. But yeah, it works in a big on a big building, I think.
And it looks great on film.
Mm.
And I think the look of it was... It was very well directed. It was. It had that documentary feel to it. It was a nice... Very twee, I think. It was based around the kids as well. There was some great, we should say, the child.
It's films. Mainly just, it's a brilliant child. They fluked on a really, well, I don't know if they fluked on who plays Mooney. Her name's Brooklyn Print, and she's just really likable and watchable and really funny.
She will do great things, I think.
Sort of a classy, kids do the funniest things, stroke... Cross between a brutal fly on the wall documentary about poor sort of America where people have to stay in motels, but they can't stay there for the whole. They have to move out one day every month so they don't get permanent residency, so the hotel can charge them as a guest. It's entertaining, but nothing really happens, I don't think.
Yeah, there was some moments with her, the Mooney girl. I think some of it looked improvised as well, maybe with
it. It must have been because. The kids are so... Actually, I thought This Is England. You've seen that where...
Yeah, yeah.
That young car... And Thomas Turgoose is absolutely incredible in it.
Mm.
And then as he's got older and more aware, he's got worse.
Yeah.
I think as an actor because he's not...
Yeah, yeah.
He's just totally... He's aware now and he's acting. Whereas then, it looked like the director said, just do this thing and mess around and we'll film it.
Yeah, he's not a great actor, but anyone can kind of act if they're just playing and improvising, yeah. I suppose. Well, not everyone, but I think it's easier for kids, especially. But also, it's a good sign that it was the director was a good one, because I think you need that. If you're going to direct children, you need that good connection, don't you? To be able to get the best out of them. And I think they did it in This Is England. What's his chops? He's a great director.
Sure, Shane Meadows.
Shane Meadows, yeah. He obviously connected with the kids in a way that they could get the best performance out of them, which doesn't always happen.
No, most 9 out of 10 kids I want to punch in the face.
Yeah, but, you know, we've talked about that, haven't we?
I mean, there was an awkward moment when we're watching the film, and this, they must have shot loads of footage for this, because they aren't really scenes. They're sometimes just
vignettes, you could say.
Oh, I've been dying to hear the word vignette on this. This is now a podcast talks about vignettes.
Yeah, no problem.
Yes. That's what I think Dave would have said, vignettes.
Come on, we said we don't. No talk of Dave while I'm here.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, it's vignettes. As I was saying on the way here, it's a lot of vignettes. But there was one awkward sequence where there's a character who's basically a paedophile.
Yes.
Walks into the park. And he bore a sort of quite a strong resemblance. Quite a strong resemblance to me. And I was, I had to say,
well, I was going to tap you on the leg and go, oh, Marek, that's you. But I thought, I chatted you for about half an hour before we went into this.
Yeah.
I thought it might be, I didn't want to risk it, you know, by saying
you have to say, I have to say to me.
Well, you said something and it kind of, I thought I can enjoy the rest of the film now because I've not got that on my mind that I think that paedophile looks like Marek.
I think I've even got the same pair of shorts as he was wearing.
I thought you brought me along to your kind of, you know, you were in the film.
Yeah.
And you were just basically, come and see this film.
There he is. Oh, it's really good. Really good.
Default
really
Peter.
Good acting. Yeah, it's quite a depressing thing, and that's the part that I would get to play. But you were saying, you thought, what did you think of William, because William Dafoe plays the caretaker.
As far as the fact that he's got a name, you know, it's William Dafoe. It's a bit of an indie film, and to get a name like that is always going to be good to push the film. But I don't think it was particular like a part made for him, or I think there could have been a lot more kind of lesser known actors that could have played that part and done just as good.
But that's the sort of thing of the industry of getting some. I mean, the budget is $2 million.
Oh, okay.
Which is really low, I suppose. Yeah. For it. So he must have done it for a few.
Well, I was thinking when I was watching it, I wonder if he actually got paid or whether he knew someone who was trying to help it, or because he didn't produce co-producer or anything like that, I don't think. So I don't think he actually put any money in, but I'd be interested to see if he took a fee or whether he did a Brad Pitt circa Snatch.
What did Brad Pitt do in Snatch then?
Didn't want a penny for it, mate.
You're joking.
Didn't take a penny for it.
Mental.
He just said, you know, let me take my top off and let me do an Irish accent and I'll do it for free.
Always rent as much money as you can.
But this is the thing though, Mark. Now, you know, people get to a certain status and they're all this money and all this fame and they think, well, what can I give back? And you give it back to Snatch.
That's the thing, isn't it? You just do it. You start doing it. It's a problem with acting. You start out, I mean, I could talk about this in your podcast later on. I'm plugging to Believe It or Not. You start out wanting to do something, and then you get cast in a certain role, and then you have to end up doing the job you wanted to in the first place for free and just do all these mainstream bullshit things.
Yeah, but it's like when these swanky parties, when they'll go to some kind of showing of a film or something, and then come out and they've been given a bag full of iPods and, you know, I don't know, Reese's Pieces or all the other expensive stuff. And they give it them for free.
Mm.
But they have the money.
Yeah.
It's like clothing brands go, oh, you can wear these. And it's like, yeah, but I can afford to buy it now, so can I just pay for it?
Yeah.
Well, where's all the money going? Well, I don't know. Well, you've got 9 kids to feed now, all adopted, aren't they? So
rich people get stuff for free, poor people have to pay for it. Bloody makes me sick.
And this is actually connected to the film as well.
Yes.
Because, I mean, can we talk about the end? I'm presuming if people are
I mean, it's. I don't. It's not really spoilers because it's a film which doesn't really feel. We can talk about giving spoilers away, but it's not. It's more a look into someone's life rather than a story itself.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it's a recording of a certain time in someone's life, a brief couple of weeks, I'd say.
Rather than any hard narrative.
No, there's no narrative at all, actually. And I think, to be fair, I was a little bit. There was points in the film where I thought, I'm looking forward to this being over.
One hour, 51 minutes. Half an hour.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, half an hour too long, I agree.
Yeah. It did. It felt long. You could. It stretched, didn't it?
Yeah.
And although it looked nice and that the actresses, especially, like I said, that girl in particular, that child, were phenomenal, it did kind of drag on a little bit too long.
But the ending's really weird. In fact, it looks as though it was just recorded on someone's phone, the last 2 minutes.
Yeah, I wonder. I bet someone else has spoken about that. I think potentially it's because they didn't want to send a camera into the place that they end up in the end of the film.
Mm.
Because they wanted to be a bit more incognito. Either that or they just ran out of film, ran out of money, literally. But yeah. Then they probably didn't shoot it in chronological order, so.
Yeah. Let us know what you think.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
How many mats or how many Skillingtons would you give it?
Out of
10.
It's a tricky question. Okay, you know my positives. It looks great.
Yeah.
I think he's a good. He's a decent director. Willem Dafoe, always class act.
I had a cameo in it.
You had a cameo in it, which was one of your finest bits of work.
Thank you.
And it was funny, but it was serious and touching in parts. But my downsides, the negatives, are the fact that the narrative, there was no real narrative, which I feel like it loses your interests. After a while, you kind of go, okay, well, I need something to get into here.
I had a cameo in it.
You had a cameo in it. That was also quite distressing to see. So that's a negative and a positive, double-edged sword. And it was too long, I think. So, you know, out of 10, I'm thinking maybe a 4 or a 5.
Really?
Five, that low.
Holy shit.
I've gone too low, haven't I?
I feel really bad because I thought you enjoyed it, but you must have been hating it if it was 4 or 5.
No, is that too low? Yeah, but
I would give it 7 Marics.
7 Marics?
Yeah, because I thought it was. I did really enjoy it. It was half an hour too long, but I think it's a really original film.
Is it?
I think it is. Just see that. It's something a bit of an. You don't really have anything. But like leaving Las Vegas is sort of set in there. So they're in a sort of motel place.
Yeah.
It's always a place that someone ends up in and gets shot.
Alan Partridge did it.
I suppose, yeah. It's a bit.
No, but.
American Alan Partridge, who plays him with a child.
Leaving Las Vegas actually is one of my favourite films. And one of Nicolas Cage's finest performances.
Were you getting emotional then?
No, that was just the effort that I was putting in to say finest, because
I want you to be the first person to cry on this podcast.
Well, maybe it could be today. I'm very emotional, but that is because it had a good narrative. You know, it's a story about a man who was absolutely losing his mind but was dedicated on completing his goal. I don't think this film really had it. I'll give it 6.
I feel like I've swayed you away from the 4 or 5.
Yeah, well, maybe I was being a bit harsh there. You know,
you can give it. What comes across?
5.
Okay.
I'm going to give it 5 Skillies.
Well, there we go. The Florida Project, slightly overrated from what everyone says, according to these wizened. Is it wizened? Is that sort of old, but not wise, is it?
But I'll always go in with an open mind to any film.
Yeah.
And I tend to watch it to the end, even if I'm watching a film and I think, God, this is poor.
Yeah.
You know, I tend to watch it to the end, just so I can, just so that, you know, if I go, oh, that was a terrible film, and then someone goes, oh, did you watch it to the end? And I go, no. And they go, oh, well, it's a big twist, and actually, it's a really good film.
Yeah. I felt this film felt like it was really going to happen at the end of it, but didn't.
No, it was a night, there was some lovely tension built at the end. it really starts building. That last few scenes at the end, it's good, and but it doesn't. The payoff is kind of nice, but I don't know.
Well,
did not blow me away.
Yeah, I agree with you. Well, thank you. Now it's time for this. Here we go. Here's a letter from Simon Iberson or Iberson. Subject is minor plus points. Greetings, Merrick and friend. I think I can call you a friend now.
Yeah, yeah.
Listening to your review of Death of Stalin, 8 Simons, I remember seeing Dan Mersch in it and how that minor recognition improved the film for me by about 1%. Have you ever enjoyed a film slightly more for an incredibly minor reason?
It's a good question, that.
Very good question.
So what was his reason for enjoying it?
Death of Stalin is Armando Iannucci directed it, and there's a lot of people from sort of you're a bit younger than me, but from my generation of comic actors, and you see them pop up in films.
Oh,
so
I see.
Justin Edwards, yeah. And Dan, there's a few people, Liz and I would say, that we knew, which I actually think throws me out of the film. Because I think, I know them, and it suddenly feels like you're watching a film. Which is I really like seeing films of, you know, complete unknowns. Then it really feels...
So you can really get into it.
Well, for example, Blair Witch Project, if you knew someone in that, it would be totally ruined.
No, it'd be a comedy, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
For you. Well, do you want to try and answer that, Mary?
Yeah. Well, that was have I enjoyed it slightly more? I enjoy it if I recognise something. Well, here's an example, it's not a film. So we talked about Stranger Things before.
Yeah.
And when I grew up at the arcade, there was an arcade game called Dragon's Lair.
It was weird that you were born in the arcade and you grew up.
I was born in the arcade just by, you know, that the 2p drop thing they do. You put 2p's in the arcade.
Totally nudges.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was conceived and born there.
Yes. And you fell down and you came with a key ring.
Yes. Tokens, actually. The tokens you collect for a really crap. You think I have got 18,000 tokens? I would like that pencil stub, please.
Oh, fucking hell. Sorry, go on. So you were.
So I was watching that, and Dragon's Lair was, you know, there's an age when you're before computer games got good and everyone had computer consoles.
Yeah.
Where arcades were much better than computer games. And then we used to play Double Dragon and other game, Commando down there. And then Dragon's Lair came out, which was this game that was animated like a cartoon.
Yeah.
So the first time anyone had seen it, it was something like, that's 20p. That's 20p. That's 20p a play. So Dragon's Lair, the one they played, was the game. There were queues for Dragon's Lair, and it was notoriously hard. You had to go left, right. Everyone would die after about 30 seconds.
Right.
But you were desperate to see. I'm not going to go any games. I'm going to queue for Dragon's Lair. And I can't describe it now, because it was the gap between crappy computer games to your playing in a cartoon was so huge that everyone was blown away by it. And the other one they had was Space Ace that came out later on. So when I saw that in Stranger Things, it took me back to the excitement of saying, they've got someone coming in from school, you know, the kid who's allowed to play in the arcades on weekdays, and they really, he doesn't do very well at school, but he gets to do the cool things because his parents are slightly shit.
Yeah.
He goes, there's a new game down the arcades, like a cartoon. I'll come off it, mate. Yeah, it's a proper cartoon. It gets around. There's a game called Dragon's Lair, anything. On Friday, a mum could go down, stand down, go down the arcade, pound coins just there. Can I go on the... Tuppenny, was it called? Tuppenny?
Tuppenny nudger.
Try and get some 2p's.
Yeah.
You know, wait around there for the 2p's to come out so you can try and save it for another go on Dragon's Lair, queue up. Genuine excitement. So that made it better for me.
So they pulled it off quite well then in Stranger Things, because they really make a big deal about it, don't they? Because everyone, they're all running out and they're grabbing as much money as they can.
That's why I like Stranger Things, because it's literally, it's the same, I would have been the same age pretty much as they were in that. Well, a bit younger than they were. So Dungeons and Dragons was a huge...
Yeah.
My mum bought me the Dungeons and Dragons starter set, and reading this thing, going, this is someone has written this game for me. What? Right. A 10-sided dice? Ah, shit!
That in itself is magic, isn't it?
Yeah.
In a lot of ways.
So that is not an example of a film, but that's a nostalgia moment that makes things better for me. How about you?
Monsters.
Monsters make things better. As in, what sort of monsters?
I like... this, you know, I always think if you want to make a good monster film, you've got to show as little as the monster as possible.
Yes.
You know, you just hint at it for a while, like in Halloween, you know, you see him occasionally. Or the opening to Jeepers Creepers I thought was excellent, the way he turned.
Jeepers Creepers is terrifying. I think it's really underrated, that film.
Yeah, but it gets shit, that film.
When you see the monster, yeah.
You start seeing him, and the second one was basically a comedy. But I do like... one of my favourites, King Kong, it's old as shit now, but...
The original or the one with...
The original, mainly, just because of the stop-start animatronics that they did with...
Jeff Bridges is in the second, in this remake, isn't he? He's in a remake of it.
Skull Island.
Oh.
Is that one?
No, there's one in the 70s with Jeff Bridges really young in a King Kong remake.
Yeah, they made quite a few of them, didn't they? I actually thought the... the one that was made by old...
old
see you later, mate. It's gone.
Don't worry, because I've got my computer here. And
no, I'm
I
talking
can...
about...
You're talking about the one made by... Oh, no.
No, I'm talking about the Peter... Peter... I can't say his name.
Kong.
Peter. I want to say Peter Sellers. Why is he gone? Lord of the Rings.
Oh, yeah.
Why
Peter,
I forgot his name?
It happened in this house. I can't remember anyone's name.
Everyone's listening to this screaming.
Peter Jackson.
Peter Jackson. God almighty. Yeah, I thought his was pretty good as well. And I like the I was going to say the Shin Godzilla, which is the kind of Japanese 2016 version of Godzilla.
Did you like that? I thought it was really boring.
It was half an hour too long.
Yeah.
I'll give you that. But I loved the fact that they kept that classic Japanese retro feel to it. I did not like the American Godzilla that they made.
Oh, I was talking about the American one, I think. I was talking about the American one where Bryan Cranston had the same haircut as the really weird dyed hair.
Yeah, the film where they saw Bryan Cranston in it and then...
spoiler
alert, he's not in it that long. I thought that was shocking.
Yeah, it was really boring.
But like, Shin Godzilla is... And the Japanese basically deny that.
I have not seen Shin Godzilla. Oh, this is... I've not seen it at all. I should watch this.
Yes. It's got that old retro smashing down buildings in Japan feel, but it's got the touch of it being made last year.
Favourite monster of all time?
My uncle.
Uh-oh. Oh, no, no. Uh-oh, please. No. Oh, no, 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 no.
Not today. My favourite monster of all time, that's a fab question. I do love Godzilla.
It's a good, fair enough. But Godzuki, everyone thinks is a prick.
Yeah, I'd probably say Godzilla.
Okay. Well, let's move on.
No, I want to tell that back.
Okay.
The T-Rex from Jurassic Park.
Right.
Not really a monster, though.
Okay.
Come back to me with that one.
Just have a think about it. I'm just going for... I realise I've ticked some of the wrong messages here.
You've got
also, I have to thank Andy McAfee for redoing the jingle with Lizzie Roper's voice in it, which you heard before. Thank you very much. And we're about 2 weeks behind on letters, and I'm going to try and find another one here that I haven't read.
So, Marek's just looking through the letters now.
This is what I need. This is what I need, this stuff here. This is from Stuart Baxter, subject Vince Vaughan. Hi, Marek and guest. Notice that you covered Bone Tomahawk, so I was going to suggest...
Oh my god, great film.
Yeah, good, isn't it? So I was going to suggest the director's follow-up, Brawl, on Cell Block 99. It's brutal, stroke savage, has horrific scenes that are on par with Bone Tomahawk.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is the Vince Vaughn film where he has a skinhead, right?
Well, it says, Vince Vaughn proved his acting chops in True Detective, but he ups his game. P.S. Don't get put off by the title and posters, they're both shit, and I would have avoided what's the director's previous work. Keep doing what you're doing, guys. From Stu. So, I haven't even heard of Brawl on Cell Block 99.
Yes, I've seen the trailer for this and I know what it means about the poster. It does look... it looks like Vince Vaughn's had some kind of mental breakdown.
Oh, it's a rubbish poster. Vince Vaughn looks like Crichton from Red Dwarf.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I suppose it is a bit in a way.
No, it's only come out on 20th October, so hopefully... I've not seen it advertised in cinemas.
It's being played at the Prince Charles Cinema, I believe. I saw a poster outside in Leicester Square. So maybe...
pop down.
Well, I was going to say we could pop down and watch it, but then, you know, I don't... push this friendship so far, can't you? And then
exactly.
Before you know it.
There's a nice email wishing us luck from 3 weeks ago from Connor L. Well, you know, this is all... This is because I'm behind on the emails. Another quick email from Ray Blake saying, just a quick note, to thank Dave for his contribution, to wish him all the best for his new family, and to wish Marek all the best for the new incarnation of Film Fandango. Thank you.
That's very nice.
I mean, these are nice people.
These are good people that listen to this podcast.
Let's have one more on. Another thank you from Andy Carmack. Now, these are all well-wishing emails. I should have really checked through, but it's nice to give these people credit for being good people.
Sometimes you've got to throw yourself into the barrel and roll down the hill after the cheese.
What a beautiful image. Let's have one more. This is from Matt, who's talked about film screens and scheduling. Hello, American mystery guest. It's you.
Thank you.
Just a short email in relation to your previous conversation about how cinemas decide the screens and timings for film showings. This is good information.
Size of screens, was it that?
The cinema, the screens and timings. Someone wrote in saying it's quite annoying that they couldn't watch films in the morning. They sort of put films that old people and pensioners might watch because they're not working.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas a lot of the action films and horror films... I mean, it's really rare to find a horror film on 11 o'clock in the mid, you know...
Yeah.
But I only go at midday because I can't stand people.
No, I agree with you on that one.
Anyway, I'll carry on with this. I came across the following article stating how Disney are dictating to the cinema that they must reserve their biggest screen for 4 weeks exclusively for the Star Wars The Last Jedi this Christmas. It also mentions they're forcing cinemas to give them 65% of the takings rather than normal 55%. That's great information. I didn't know what percentage it was. 65%.
That's insane. They did this on the first one. The Disney's first release, they did the whole, "Oh, we demand to take over your cinema."
Yeah.
Because Quentin Tarantino had a bit of a run in, didn't he? Because he had, what film would he have?
Oh, was it the cowboy one?
Bastard 12 or something.
Oh, I know that one. It was one in the snow. Was it Glorious Bastards or was it
no?
No. It was one where 12 people go through the snow and they'd shoot each other.
Was it 12 or 8? Hateful Eight.
Hateful Eight, that's it.
Yeah, he had a big... issue with them because
really?
Disney was trying to take over all the cinemas and he was like, "This is my movie though."
Yeah.
So, but you know, Disney have the power. They have imagine like Mickey Mouse's fist, but made of iron. That's what I think of Disney.
Holy shit.
But they made some good films.
But I hate the fact that it gets to the point where you've seen the three blockbusters and you can't see anything. It's hard to track in London. Track down another film because it's all just Star Wars on three screens and then the other blockbuster on the other one.
Yeah, and this is why you need to support your local independent cinema.
Well, we didn't. We went to the Picture House instead.
Oh, I thought that was a bit more indie than
no.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The Tricycle in Kilburn is a wonderful independent cinema.
Okay.
That play great films. And they've got a theatre there, but their screen is very cheap and they've got a great screen. So I would say during the hustle and bustle of Star Wars Nightmare Week, get on down to the Tricycle and watch a film in subtitles.
There we go. Do that. One more letter. Dear Merrick and whoever.
Oh, well,
do you mind if I...
It's getting a bit more casual, isn't it?
Yeah.
Whoever.
I liked your recent chat about when is a good time to take a piss in the cinema. I recently saw Thor Ragnarok in the multi-screen cinema in Valletta in Malta. Just as I was approaching UN o'clock and I was waiting my chance, the cinema owner very kindly inserted an old-school intermission.
No.
This is the first time I'd seen one since Jurassic Park in the early 90s. As you correctly predicted, the problem was that everyone went for a pee and there were people coming back with popcorn for a good 5 minutes after the intermission. Quaint, but I can see why intermissions went the way of the dodo. In terms of the film itself, I was happy overall, but I thought the Taika Waititi stuff stuck out like a sore thumb, especially when he dubbed in deadpan Kiwi comedy for the poorly CGI rock monster. It really felt like the studio indulged him for precisely 1% of the film and let him tell a couple of jokes to the class. Now I keep watching the films. I liked his bits in that, but I was right about that, saying intermissions, literally you're just queuing for a piss.
I think it's a bad idea. But I remember it happening once, and then after that, kind of thinking, where's his intermission? And I think it was in the Odeon in Sheffield, just next to Roxy's, if you know it. And I think I was there with my dad. I was very young, but they had the intermission, the curtains closed.
Mm.
A young lady came around with the
cornetto tray. Yeah,
and they were selling ice creams and stuff. And I thought, oh, this is the cinema then. And that never happened to me since.
It always happened. It died out in on the Isle of Wight. You know, the cinema intermission. Two people come down the aisles, cornettos and other sort of crap sweets. And at Lake Cinema, which was basically a warehouse with a tiny screen, someone used to come out from the curtains in front of the thing with a hand puppet and mime the cornetto music at the start before they filled the cornettos. Incredible entertainment.
Well, I mean, was Cornetto sponsoring that puppet?
No, it was just someone in their really rubber cinema. I said, right, all right, Jackie, you're on sock puppet duty. You need to. I imagine them going home and learning the miming bit, because you have to.
Yeah.
It's easy, the cornetto bit is easy. If one cornet, you have to really build up to the full open sock.
Yeah, you'd have to be able to sing it. I mean, ideally, if you could sing it yourself as well.
Yeah, it's asking a bit much, isn't it?
That is a bit much, isn't it? Should have done that Last Action Hero.
Yeah. Well, that's enough of that section. If you want to write in, why not go to filmfandango.co.uk. Click on the contact button, write in with a letter of something that is of interest to you or your family. Also, you can donate to help this podcast. Please do, as it definitely is getting more expensive for me. And you can do that on the website. Thank you to everyone who has. You're really good people. It is much better to give money to this podcast than to children in need or other charities, because a lot of it doesn't go directly through to them. It's a lot of it goes, 95% goes on admin. And as people know, this podcast has no admin. There's no admin.
No, straight to
the... It's all going straight
in your
to the
pocket.
Source.
Straight in your pocket.
To the cinemas.
Straight
to the source. And that money allows cinemas to charge cheaper prices for the children who are poor, who have drug problems.
Yes, that want to watch our film.
Yes, so it is helping those people with disabilities and with things wrong with them. Rather than give money to the
conditions.
Charity, conditions. You're giving money directly to someone with no admin.
Yeah.
It's a no-brainer.
You know, when you have, if you've ever ordered an Uber or something, you can track it on your screen.
Yeah.
The thing, you should make an app where you can see the listener's money, and follow it all the way
to the overpriced cinema tickets.
Yeah. And then rate your journey.
Right, mate. It's good. It's good to get some fresh ideas. Anyway, it's time for this section. We're gonna find out about the guests, what things they like, and other bits. We ask them questions about films. Here are the questions coming up. This is the section where I ask you some questions.
Oh no!
Now, the first one I'm going to ask you is your IMDb number. You can hear me tippy-tapping into my computer. Do you know what this bit is? Do you know what your IMDb number is?
No. Do I have a number?
So what it is here, I'm handing over the computer here. Here is a list of the top 250 films.
Oh, right.
And your IMDb number is the first one that you haven't seen. And don't be embarrassed, because two of our guests hadn't seen The Godfather or The Godfather 2. Have you not seen them?
This was my secret.
You've not seen The Godfather?
No.
Give me that computer back. Have you seen Shawshank Redemption?
Yes.
This is other four
right
guests on, and no one's seen The Godfather.
I don't know what it is. I think I've seen most of the other ones.
Yeah, but you've seen all of them. Probably seen all of these.
It's
Schindler's List.
It's so embarrassing. Matt Lucas on Twitter admitted the other day that he'd not seen Hocus Pocus, right? which isn't as bad, obviously.
Hocus Pocus is terrible for
yeah.
Hocus Pocus, what, the recent...
No, the Bette Midler...
Oh, yeah. I don't think I've sat through the whole of that. I've just seen it when she's being... And I think, oh, God.
But I took that opportunity to admit that I'd not seen The Godfather.
Well, that's... I mean, I'm going to bin this section. I thought it was a good idea, this section.
I should have just lied, shouldn't I?
Well, no. It's just quite interesting that no one's seen The Godfather.
I think most people have seen The Godfather.
I'm trying to do a different section. It's just turned to shit.
I think... What was it?
What well, don't worry. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Let's go on. Let's move on.
I really need to watch The Godfather.
Well, I've had this conversation with three different people now. I'm not going to come in and not watch The Godfather again.
All right, fair.
What would you just done? You just stop on the end of
maybe
it.
Maybe do a section called You've Not Seen Godfather.
I tell you what, though. I did ask people the top five films. What... Then if it'd be five, what are your... You talked about leaving Las Vegas. What are your favourite or formative films?
Okay. Jurassic Park.
Mm-hmm.
I still think to this day holds. And...
Was it your... How old were you when you first saw it?
When it first came round. 93, I think it was. And my mother had bought a new telly, because I didn't see it. I don't think I saw it at the pictures. Or maybe I did. I can't remember the pictures bit, but I came home one day from school and my mum was setting up this big telly. Do you know what I mean? It was a new telly and it was way bigger. I mean, it was one that was like 4 feet thick.
Yeah.
Like, heavy, jumpy telly.
We got one my neighbour chucked out when we moved in here 2 years ago. We still had the one with the thick back, and the movement went, well, I haven't seen one of these for 15 years, and they were really pissed off. They were just a telly that's so heavy that they must have killed children, those televisions.
Yes.
Thousands of children.
100%. I often think, I don't think burglars from the late 80s, mid 90s got enough credit for.
You couldn't nick one of those.
No chance.
You took two men to get this telly down with it. You get the towel out, Tony. And the weird thing when they had sort of half slid it down on some weird dirty old oily towel they had for the telly towel, slide it down the stairs.
The old telly towel, is it?
Get it out. It was fucking...
Nowadays, you put your hand through a letterbox, you can take an iPad.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
The whole thing.
The tellies. But she was setting that up and she had Dolby surround sound we kind of set up, and she'd bought Jurassic Park on VHS and we watched it. And it's probably the film that I've seen the most.
Okay.
So that holds great memories. Jeff Goldblum. The Goldblum.
Yeah.
But another one that I love is With Nail and I.
Oh, really? Yeah.
That's the one that if someone's not seen, I go, you know, certain people you go, oh, you'd love this. And I'll sit and watch it with them again and again. So
it's the real cult. I don't like it particularly.
Mm.
But it's... People who love it really love it with a passion, don't they?
Yeah, I just think it's just so well scripted and performed.
Richard E. Grant is the sometimes you've got the perfect casting.
Yeah.
Absolutely perfect in that role. He's never going to play in that. It's so good that every other role is a shade of that, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it wasn't. And it was weird because he was teetotal at the time.
Was he?
Yeah. Didn't smoke or anything, but he's a proper actor. Proper thespian.
A wanker.
Uncle Monty.
What, you mean he's a wanker?
No, I didn't say that. That's not what I said.
Uncle Monty, yeah.
Uncle Monty was a fantastic character and a wonderful performance by the late, you know what I'm
like. Who played the fat lawyer.
You know.
Fat barrister.
He's a fat man that it's not shocking that he died, but
I mean, he'd be really pleased... if people look back on him, say that fat bloke, we can't remember.
Yeah,
we can't remember his name. I'm looking up now. It's Richard Griffiths.
Right. I was getting Richard Griffiths. Yeah,
he put Rumpo the Bay. Did he play Rumpo the Bay?
He was fantastic. I myself see the bumblebee as a prostitute to the bee.
Yes, the writing is very good on it. What else? What else?
I used to love. I mean, this is. I'm not. Seen in a while, and I don't know where it is on my scale anymore, because at one point it was up there. Eternal Sunshine of a Spotless Mind, I always thought was a great performance, because I'm an old school Jim Carrey fan, and it was nice to see him kill a role that wasn't just all about that shit.
I wasn't really a big fan of his until I saw the Truman Show and that, and especially that.
Actually, yeah.
That shit's incredible.
Truman Show is another great as well.
The soundtrack to that is my favourite. It got me into Philip Glass. Mm. So I thought, who does that music? And then it got me into listen to...
Candyman.
Yeah, great.
You know he did Candyman, Philip Glass?
Did he?
Yeah.
Did
the music.
Oh, as in, say it three times in front of a mirror.
Yeah.
Is it three or five?
Five.
You do that in your... so the Seldon Differ sketch where... There's an homage to Candyman, isn't there?
Yeah.
Have you done that? Have you said Candyman five times in the mirror?
I don't think I ever have. Are we going to do it now?
You could. I don't want to do it now.
No, well, I thought it was three and we looked it up because we wanted to get it right, obviously, because it's a Candyman reference, Mr. Funny Face, which is a board game and not the Candyman itself. But yeah, it's five. And I watched that film when I was about 10 years.
Absolutely terrified for you. And you must feel yourself in the mirror saying it, but think, I'm thinking it, but don't. What if he can sense that I'm thinking in the mirror? Did you have that? My brain's saying Candyman, but I'm not saying it. I'm not saying it.
Does it count? Does it count?
Literally getting in a stress about that. I remember doing that.
And going, Marit, you've got to go to your lecture that you're teaching.
If you have said Candyman five times in front of a mirror and still alive, please write in and tell us. That is a good... I'd like to know your experiences.
Yeah, what happened that?
Yeah.
I watched that too young, man. Too young to be watching Candyman. And I don't know where... I think my mum might have just been in the kitchen or something. But maybe... I think my cousin was there and a brother. And we watched Candyman and I was maybe like eight.
Yeah, I think when you watch... I watched some horror films and properly lying in bed... absolutely shitting my pants, too scared to go to the toilet and get really annoyed to hear, I've just got to go. And literally, you know, my mum and dad in the next room, my brother, but I was too scared to go for a piss. I didn't wet the bed, I forced myself to go up and go,
go. It's, well, your brain's just so sensitive at that age, and you either love it or something will stick with you. That's what I had. I remember just, I don't know what it was, like, I watched Werewolf in Paris, I think, or Werewolf in London.
But that has got some of the most terrifying bits in it. It's those weird monster eyes when they burst into the family room and shoot. That's absolutely,
yeah.
When it's behind the curtain, that's scarier than the werewolf, isn't it? It's those weird bug-eyed monsters.
Yep, and yeah.
I'd love it if there's one came from behind the sofa now, just shot me.
I don't know what I'd do. I'd have to look for the nearest weapon, probably the snow globe.
Get the snow globe, or that glass vase.
In fact, you've got a selection of ideal smashable over the heads.
Yes, just for weapons, yeah.
Waiting for the day.
Yeah. Basically, something you want to snap it, use it as a weapon, straight away, within 2 seconds. Bam! Bam, straight in the monster's throat.
My arm.
Straight in the monster's throat, God, done. Well, that's good. There's some good...
there's a few of my all-time faves. Yeah.
Super. Well, I think it's time for everyone's... I don't know if people like this section or not. There's been no feedback.
Film quiz. Trivia questions. Facts. Other things. Interesting. Yes.
The first one, I've been doing translations of films.
Okay.
So we had... I keep on banging on this. So Vaselina was the Spanish translation for Grease.
Okay,
so this is the film, this is that...
El Vaselino, bueno.
I'm going to give you the actual translation, you have to guess the film.
Okay, so this and these are legit, yeah?
These are legit, yeah. It is Italian, Si mi lasci ti cancello. If you leave, which translates as, if you leave me, I delete you.
That's the literal translation in Italian. If you leave me, I delete you. Is it the long good? No, not the long goodbye. The long goodbye, is it?
No.
If you leave me, I will delete you.
Quite tricky.
Yes, if you leave me now.
You take away the bit. That's the best bit of that song, is the...
Baby, please don't go. Yeah, that is, I'm just trying to buy myself a bit more time there. I'm going to go with... If you leave me now...
If you leave me, I delete you.
If you leave me, I delete you. Good. goodbye Yellow Brick Road. I'm not.
Well, the odd coincidence is that you mentioned it a few seconds ago. It's Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Oh! Oh, if you believe me. Oh, jeez.
Very hard question. But I thought, do you know what? This is a really odd coincidence that you might.
I've never seen the Italian version. That is very literal, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you leave me, I delete you.
Here's next question.
Yep.
Who is the oldest? These two people. Who is the oldest?
It's good that you give me an option there. Yeah.
Justin Timberlake.
Uh huh.
Or Macaulay Culkin.
I think it's got to be. It's a good one.
Yeah, I try making tricky.
Yeah, because obviously child star, both child.
Yeah, which one came?
Child stars.
You only know Timberlake when he's old already, but Macaulay Culkin. How?
I feel how long like ago? Macaulay. God, I feel like you're going to go, they're exactly the same age and they were born on the same day.
I don't think I'd ever use that voice.
Well, you'd probably do something similar to that, try and trick me and stab me in the heart. I'm going to say 100%, because I know this for a fact, it's Justin Timberlake is older than Macaulay Culkin.
Justin Timberlake was born on January 31st, 1981.
81?
Mm-hmm. Macaulay Culkin was born August 26th, 1980.
Ah!
Macaulay Culkin is older.
Wow.
Yeah.
1980, a year old.
It's pretty tricky.
So he's 36, 37.
Yeah, Justin Timberlake's 36. He seems young, doesn't he?
God, he must have been...
So, here's the next question.
Yeah, yeah.
Which of these was released first? Home Alone or Terminator 2? 1 year in between them.
Oh, what... Oh, there's 1 year in between. Okay, right. So Home Alone came out, but when Terminator was, I'd say, older, came
Terminate,
out...
Terminator 2.
No, I know, I'm trying to work out. Yeah, Terminator, I think, would have come out before Home Alone, I'm sure. So I'd say Terminator, then Home Alone, then Terminator 2, then Home Alone 2. So I would say Terminator 2 came out before Home Alone 2.
Before Home Alone 2?
Yeah.
No, before Home Alone I'm talking about, not Home Alone 2. Home Alone and Terminator 2.
So due to my calculations, I'd say Terminator, Home Alone.
And then Terminator 2.
And then Terminator 2. So...
Home Alone came out first, you're saying?
Home Alone came before Terminator 2.
You are correct.
Yes.
Home Alone, 1990, Terminator 2, 1991. Whose real name is it? What actress you know from her stage name? This is her real name. Susan Alexandra Weaver.
Is it? Oh, I was going to say, I was thinking of Ripley. Is it Sigourney Weaver?
It's right.
Sigourney Weaver?
Yeah, it's pretty easy that one because the Weaver's still there. Yes. So you're on... You're on two.
What is that? Is that it?
There's one more question. Okay. You get to the three. It's going to be... Everyone is going to be shitting themselves. It's very tricky. I watched Romancing the Stone the other day.
Uh-huh.
The Michael Douglas...
epic.
classic, yes. But who... Who was, and there's a terrible story with the person who wrote that, the who was a waitress, apparently, who wrote the film Romancing the Stone and wanted to be a screenwriter, which is basically handing out scripts to people, and got that made, and she just died in a car crash about a month after it got made.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, who was, on the happy note, who was, according to Wikipedia, who was originally considered for the role of Jack T. Colton? Who was originally considered for that role? So, Romancing the Stone, which I think came out... I'll give you the when it came out so you can think about who was the other famous actors around 1984.
I want to answer this in quick time because I don't think I'm going to have as good a guess as what I'm going to go for.
Go for it.
I'm presuming it's the character of Michael Douglas.
Yeah. Not Kathleen Turner.
Was it... not Richard Gere. I want to say Every time we go live, whether it's my own or someone else's, my brain, when it comes to thinking of people's names, the easiest of names.
What film?
So Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Was played. It wasn't Richard Gere, was it?
No, Harrison Ford. Indiana
Jones. Harrison Ford. Jesus Christ! See, this is what I'm saying. My mind is.
It's all right. It's normal.
It's to the pressure of being on this podcast.
It is a very pressurised situation.
The listeners...
I'm holding a knife to Matt's throat all the way, yeah, and have been for the entire podcast. So yeah. He's been surprisingly relaxed to this point.
You put that in perspective. I'm going to say, I think Harrison Ford would have nailed that part.
He would have nailed that part. I think Michael Douglas was great for it. It was actually Sylvester Stallone.
Oh my word.
That would have been incredible.
Yeah.
That is according to Wikipedia, so it could have been. Someone just wrote it on there for a joke, and I've used that as a question to.
I'm going to go and edit Wikipedia and then change it to Harrison Ford.
You could probably do that and then go on a quiz show that day or a week later and definitely get all the answers right.
And I'll email in to this show and say, regarding my show last week.
And it'll get rid of it in about a year's time.
It's too much effort.
Yeah.
So two, where does that put me on the leaderboard?
Well, there's no real leaderboard. It's just sort of, it's respectable score.
Okay. All right. I'm
well done.
I'm pretty pleased with that.
Well, that's the end of this podcast. Where can people find out about you, Matt?
I try and spread myself fairly across all the social media.
Good, lovely.
On my Twitter... I'm creeping towards 80 followers now, so...
80?
Yeah. I'm low.
We can get you up to 81 or 2, or something.
If you guys could get me up to 81 or 82, you can get me at Matt Skillington.
S for the dollar sign?
No, forget the dollar. Don't let the dollar sign confuse you. That's between me and my bank.
Okay.
Andy Paul. At Matt Skillington. And it's the same with Instagram as well. I think it's... If you want to follow me on Instagram, I mean, Twitter's probably the main thing, and my podcast, obviously, on iTunes. And
look up Skillieve It or Not, Skillington.
Yeah.
Find those things. Look them up.
Subscribe.
Press yes.
Click the link below. Like and subscribe and share.
Press yes and tell your friends. Well, thank you very much for doing the podcast. And
no, thanks for having me on, mate. I've really enjoyed it, and it's been nice going to the cinema. With a man that I've just met that day, you know,
a rare experience. I mean, it's seldom happens without someone getting wanked off. It's the first time that two men have met and gone to cinema, and no one has been wanked off.
Yeah, that's true. That's what I was saying earlier, wasn't it? That you brought the popcorn bags rather than we shouldn't really talk about that, should we? Because that's controversial.
Well, Matt said to me literally when the first thing he said in the cinema was, "This is much more difficult to get your dick for the bottom off."
I was trying to break the ice.
Well, I think that's the perfect ending for the. If you have got your dick for ever anything, you through the bottom of one of these bag of popcorns, tell us how to do it, and then write in. And
that's maybe a Ziploc for preparation.
Yes, yes.
Let us know how you do it.
Yeah. Well, thanks for listening. Keep watching the films.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.